Welcome to our Bible study of the book of Revelation. Today is Thursday, September 28th, 2023. We will be meeting here in our NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live or view our past studies and PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes long and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one enters the queue, we will continue the study for an additional 15 minutes. If you have any questions, please take notes of the book, a chapter, and the verse so that we can easily go back to the verse in question. Okay, let us begin in a prayer. Holy gracious Father in heaven, we ask for your blessings as we continue in thy word. We pray that you reveal to us the work that you have laid before each and every one of us and give us an earnest ongoing desire to be faithful in your will and that we will be able to stand in the day of judgment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's see where we're at here. I can escape here. Okay, we're going to pick up here on watch. There's some verses. There's lots of verses in the Bible on watch. Hang on a second. Let me move this over. Try this again. Okay, quite a few verses on watch. So we're told to watch. The question is, what are we to watch for? And of course, we're to be watching for either the first coming of Christ or his return. And today for us, we're waiting and looking and watching for his return. So watch. We are commanded to watch for the Lord's return. The good men of the house will watch. Isaiah 21. The burden of the desert of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, all the signing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me, as pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted. Fearfulness frightened me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman. Let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, A lion, O my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward toward whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen. And all the graven images of her gods he hath broken onto the ground. O my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. And by the way, the focus of Babylon is fallen is a verse in the book of Revelation, and we're going to look to see about Mystery Babylon. You know, when we see that these horses, that identifies ultimately with the church, horses, chariots, the asses, and the camels, the chariots of camels, all of that identifies with the corporate churches. And we're going to see that again as we look into Revelation. Mark 13:31-37. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels or the messengers which are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taken a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now we see that there are four time periods here, the evening, the midnight, the cock crowing in the morning. Those are four different watches. And again, that's going to give us the time clues of what's going on at the end of the world as we look into these things. Luke chapter 12, verses 31 through 49. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and give alms. Provide for yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girt about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto other men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Truly I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if ye shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are the servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise servant, when his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. But unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and that will I, if it be, and what it will I, if it be already kindled. Luke 21:33 through 36. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Acts 20, 28 and 31. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Luke 12:27-48. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye that, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek or after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girt about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Truly I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make him to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if each shall come in the second watch, will come in the third watch and find so them so. Blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched, and would have not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that ye think not. I wonder if I just reread that twice. I think it's the same thing in another, maybe Matthew, 12:31-49. I guess I did have it twice. No, I didn't. Or did I? Yeah, I guess I did. All right, Matthew 24:44. I'll just read one more verse. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You know, we saw in one of these verses where no man knoweth the hour, and know not the Son. And I don't believe he was talking about Jesus Christ. I think he was talking about those of us who are born again, those who are able, through adoption, to cry out, Abba, Papa, Father. So I think that's the Son he's focusing in on. For after all, Christ is the beginning and the ending. He knows all things. He's God the Father. So anyway, that's what I think. I know a lot of people have talked about that verse, but that's the only way I can think I can realize it. Okay, now we're going to move into Matthew 23 and Matthew through 25. And again, as I mentioned earlier, these are very important chapters to look at. It's a prelude to the book of Revelation. So, see if I can get this open. Why ain't this opening? Try this again. All right, let me go another way to do that. I think, not sure which one this is. Well, let's see if this is it. No, that's not it. I'm not sure why this is not opening. Book of River, Matthew 24, Doc, I guess that should have been it. This is it, yeah. Yep, this is it. Okay, Matthew 23 through 24. And then, of course, 25. 25 is a parable. I might interpret some of this as we read through it, but whatever words we're going to interpret, we will be covering and looking deeper into the Bible on the meaning of these words to see how we can see it, how God lays it out line upon line, precept upon precept, so that we know that we understand you know, the way that we're interpreting it is proper. But just to go through Matthew 23, I'm probably, you know, we're not going to dig deep into any of the words. But again, I might give some understanding of the words as far as giving a spiritual picture. And what's interesting about Matthew 23, this is when Jesus leaves Israel desolate. And then, of course, we go into 24 and they ask him questions. When shall these things be and what shall be the sign of that coming and the end of the world? And again, it's you know, that's really our first time clue that we're going to see, to know that we're at the ends of the world. But again, God is leaving this church. He's leaving the Old Testament Israel. He's forsaken them. And let's take note that the seven churches, when we get into the book of Revelations, they've already gone apostate a long time ago. And many churches have gone apostate. And as churches have gone apostate, other churches have risen up. And that's just been the way it's been through the whole New Testament era. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And those high places, of course, begins in the church. Those high places is also found in the world. But particularly, God is focusing in the church. So Satan is constantly, bringing his false doctrines into the churches. And God has judged the people in those churches. And we're going to see that a lot of that is going to go on at the end of the world here as we look into Revelation. So let's look at Matthew 23, which leads into Matthew 24. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe. That observe, and do. But do not ye after their works. For they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. The heavy burdens carried upon the shoulders are the law and the responsibility of the head of the household in requiring the keeping of the law to the whole household, which is grievous. But with Christ we rest in grace and not in the law. Therefore his burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Luke 15:4-6. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Acts 15, verse 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Galatians 4:30-5:4. What saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are the children of the bondwoman, but we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again, every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. And of course, we're going to see the picture of the bondwoman as the harlot in the book of Revelation. And of course, the free woman we're going to see is the picture of the woman with the crown and standing on the sun, no, standing on the moon. Okay, we're back into Matthew 23 here, in verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their... not sure how to pronounce that word. Let me see if I can get a pronunciation on that.
Phylacteries.
Now, phylacteries. For wearing slips of scripture text. You know, they wear that on the bottom of their... what would you call it? Gowns, I guess. The garments. Let's see. Let me reread that. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the border of their garments. Numbers 15, verses 38 to 41. Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they may make fringes in the borders of their garments. And this is what that was talking about, that verse before. Throughout their generations. And they put upon the fringe of the border ribbands of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Okay, so that's kind of a picture of, that garment is a picture of a government, of a covering, of course. And along the, you know, the edge or the fringes of that garment, you know, they're really to put the commandments of God. And that's kind of a picture of us, you know, taking the word of God and hiding it in our hearts and coming up with those verses as we live life, to help us through life. Okay, back into Matthew 23 now. And love the uppermost rooms of the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye yourself neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long suffering, long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass the sea and the land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is the debtor. Ye fool and blind, for whither is greater, the gold of the temple, or the gold? For whither is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe, and mint, and nise, and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. We're going to come back and look at that in a minute or two. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all cleanliness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because ye build the tombs of the prophets, and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers or partners with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witness unto yourself that ye are the children of them which killeth the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Truly I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wing, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Okay, so at that point, of course, it's pretty clear that he's left the national Israel and has left them desolate. And before we get into Matthew 24, I want to go look a little bit at this picture of you blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And when we look into the meaning of these things, a better way to realize this, if you go into the original language, which is the Greek, it's probably a much better interpretation or an appreciation of its meaning when we read it this way. Ye blind guides which strain out of a stinger and drink down a camel. Now, a camel identifies, of course, with the corporate body. And of course, a camel is a beast of burden. It goes through desert places and it carries its own water. And so the picture of drinking down a camel ultimately is to drink down the gospel that's within it. And of course, at the same time, when it's strained out through a stinger, then it also puts in a poison, and it's an irritant. It's like being stung by a mosquito. That's really the picture that's in view. And that's the stinger that's in view, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, let's see, if I did some notes here. To strain out, it's the Greek word. We can read down in here, but let's go here. To strain out is the Greek word delizio, if that's how it's pronounced, which means to strain out. This word gnat identifies like a mosquito. It's stinging, it's stinger. A mosquito bites and sucks out your blood and leaves you with an itchy bump and possibly a horrible infection. More deaths are associated, this is the nature of it, more deaths are associated with mosquitoes than any other animal on the planet. Mosquitoes may carry any number of deadly diseases, including malaria, dengue fever, yellow fever. Mosquitoes also carry heartworm, which may be lethal to your animal, to your dog. Okay, so again, that's the picture that's being drawn. We can look at the nature of whatever God has in view. When he speaks about a camel, we can look at the nature of the camel and get an idea of a picture of whatever might be in view. Like I said, the camel identifies with the beast of burden. It identifies with the corporate church. And as we look at this and see how they drink down a camel, and of course the picture of the mosquito drinking down the camel ultimately is a picture of the false prophets, the false teachers, who suck down all the water out of the church and again replace it with a poison or an irritant. Okay, so we see clearly that this is a picture of God forsaking Israel, the national Israel, the nation of Israel. We get into this book of Revelation, there's going to be a lot of language that's focusing on the same problem and the same thing with the churches of today. And, you know, there are a lot of false gospels out there, and I'm sure you've seen some of them that are pretty obvious, but then there are a lot of them that aren't so obvious. And we looked at this earlier as one of the prerequisites concerning salt. You know, whenever we're to bring the gospel, we're to bring it with salt. And, you know, if you listen very carefully in the churches that you may be in, you may discover that one of the things they're not doing is bringing the salt. And if they're not bringing the salt, they're bringing the gospel. I'm constantly hearing about, you know, these gospels that Jesus loves you. And if you bring up, you know, well, what are we being saved from? You know, what is the salt all about? They don't want to hear it. And I've heard a lot of preachers talk about this, talking about a lot of churches where, you know, when the gospel is brought in you know, they're afraid to bring forth the negative part, the salt of the word, the fact that the penalty of sin is hell, and the hell, and you know, the hell that God has in view, you know, is eternal damnation. And, you know, we don't know exactly what hell is, but we do know that Christ, you know, gives us a picture of it as a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And fire identifies with judgment, so his judgment upon you is not quenched. You know, and the worm dieth not. If you go into the Old Testament, we see a picture that gives us a picture of Christ on the cross and calls him a worm. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, it's a horrible picture. But that's the picture, and that's the message that must come with the gospel. People need to understand and know what they're being saved from. And besides that, they have to repent. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. And we read about those verses, I think, in the last study we were looking into. We read about verses of that type. So anyway, that's one of the biggest problems, bringing in these gospel that's unsalted, and it's that's a church that is on its way out. I may have a little more to say about that later, but right now we'll just leave it there. Okay, Matthew 24. Okay, now again, this is the prelude coming into Revelation. This is an important chapter to really look at before we look at the book of Revelation. So we read right after this, where he said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus went out, he departed out of the temple. He departed from the temple, he's gone, he's out of the house. The Spirit of God is no longer in there. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple, looking at it from the physical perspective. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privily, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am Christian, and shall deceive many." Now, looking at these words to get a better appreciation of what Jesus is saying here, we look at the word building, for instance, and the building is the building of the body of Christ. It's okidome. It's a place where the stone cutting is done. It's to edify, to build up. In each case, the body of believers in the corporate church and the edification of the body. And this particular word is used, let's see, well, okidom is used, I believe, 5 times, no, 18 times as building, 5 times as, I'm sorry, let me go back. Okidom is used 18 times as edifying, building 5 times, and edification of the body 13 times. So the building up or the edifying really is identifying with the building up of the body of Christ, the edifying through the preaching of God's word in order to build up that temple, the church that God is building, that the gates of hell shall not prevail. In Matthew 13, looking at this word building, Matthew 13, verses 1 and 2, and as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Seeth that these great buildings, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now that verse is pretty identical to Matthew 24. But again, God is expounding. And you know, when you look into the four Gospels, there are certain things that all four Gospels will make, you know, will speak about. There are some things that Matthew might say that Mark, Luke, and John may not, and vice versa throughout the four Gospels. But there are certain things that God is very redundant about. And for instance, the changing of the Sabbath from the seventh-day Sabbath to the first day of the week Sabbath, that was covered in all four Gospels. You know, the crucifixion obviously is covered in all four Gospels. So there are certain things that God is really, you know, kind of making a point upon when it's repeated like that. And this, of course, again, is a point being repeated. At least I think it's done in all three of the four, in three of the four Gospels. I think Luke also has the same kind of language. But let's continue to look at this word okidom, which is the word buildings, okay? Okidom. Romans 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which have made, which make for peace, and things wherewith one may okidom another, or edify, or to build up another with God's word. Romans 15, 2. Let every one of us so please us his neighbor for his good to edification, to okidom, to build up, to build God's church. Again, this is Christ building his church. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's Christ in our hearts. And by bringing his word out, he is building his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Where are we? 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's okidom, his building up of his church. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to okidom, to edification, to build up, and exhortation and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:5. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesize. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive okidom, receive edification, to be built up. And we spoke a little bit about this tongues thing last week. But going back here, rather that ye prophesy, you know, that's what we need to be doing. All of us need to be prophesying. And what exactly does that mean, to prophesy? When one says, you know, thus saith the Lord, and you bring forth scripture, you're prophesying. You're bringing the word of God. You're building up your, again, gets back to the word okidom, that Greek word. Let's see. I think I'm in 12, 14, 12 now. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the okidom of the church, to the building up, to the edifying of the church. Again, it's always about edifying. And again, you know, if one speaks in tongues, you know, there must be one that interprets. And at that point, you know, when tongues were a normal thing back in the early church, it was always to bring God's word, and again, to edify, to bring it up. So anything that was spoken in tongues and brought in from God, you know, by individuals, God bringing it through individuals and someone else making that interpretation, at some point in time, that truth or words, whatever it is that they spoke in tongues, we will eventually have found that in the Bible. Again, it's God's word. So without the Bible, they had tongues until the Bible was actually available. And God speaks about tongues failing, by the way. We did have someone yesterday talk about this idea of praying in tongues, and the Bible speaks about that. Generally speaking, you know, they don't normally understand what exactly is being said, but God speaks about that. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto oikodom, unto edifying, unto building up. And as a matter of fact, I think in these couple of pages that we're reading through, it's an exhaustive study of the word oikodom. In other words, everywhere in the Bible that that word is used to we're looking into that. 1 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of the tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building, an oikodom of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 10:8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority with the Lord, which the Lord hath given us for oikodom, for edification, for the building up of the church, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. So, for 2 Corinthians 12:19. Again, think ye that we exercise ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying, for your oikodom, for your building up. 2 Corinthians 13:10, therefore I write these things, being absent, least being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, to oikodom, to the building up, and not to the destruction. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the oikodomi, or oikodom, the building of fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying, for the building up, the oikodom, of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying or the building up of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understandings darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have Not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus. But ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and are renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands in the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, or okidom, to build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and calamity and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, and a sweet-smelling savor. Okay, if anybody has anything, you can unmute yourself if you have a question, a comment, or a correction. I've got another 15 minutes, so we'll continue in the study if nobody picks up the mic. So we're not opening the queue. You can just open your mic and speak if you want. Okay, let's go back into this. We looked at the temple. We looked at the buildings. Let's look at this word temple. Okay, remember, to show him the buildings of the temples. That's what they're looking at, those physical buildings and the physical temple. But we need to see the spiritual picture, which is really that is in view. Let me see if I can... How come these things aren't opening? Let's see. And let me reset this one here. Let me remove hyperlink and reset it. And sometimes the Word does that. And temple. Okay, that should open now. Let's see. Okay, temple. Now, temple is the body of Christ. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Lord? Body of Christ, body of believers. 16 through 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. John 2:18-21. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake the temple of his body. 1 Peter 2:1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the Bible also tells us we are seated with him in heavenly places. Once we become born again, we are seated with him in heavenly places. Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and through 15. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of the place, out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. We are that temple. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest among his throne, upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be to Helam, and to Tobiah, and to Jediah, and to Hen, and the sons of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And that they may, they are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. 1 Corinthians, let me see, yeah, we got two pages here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 4, chapter 4, 1. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if a man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, by judgment, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Judgment. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Acts 17, verse 23 to 27. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he need anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their inhabitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place where he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So again, God building his temple. Matthew 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias, talking with him, saying, Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make there three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of heaven, which saith, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell this vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. You know, the Bible tells us that when he comes, we will see him even as he is, and we will be like him. We'll be transferred, transformed. This mortal must put on immortality. So we'd be transfigured into, you know, a spiritual body. And God requires, you know, prerequisite in order to become a son of God is first to become a son of man. And after a son of man, you know, to which of the angels has he called a son, you know? So that's a prerequisite to become a son of God is first to become a son of man and then to be transformed, to be translated into the kingdom of God. Okay, so that word temple, which we're going to be breaking off in a second. Let me just read this. Let me see what time it is. We got a few more minutes. Let's see. I may not read all of the verses within some of these places. Let's look at the word stone. One stone upon another. Okay. Oh, wrong one. Well, I don't know why all these are not opening. Okay, let's try it now. Okay, stone. Figurative of Christ and the body of believers. Brick for stone equals a corporate body. So bricks identify with the corporate construction, you know. But stones identify with the body of Christ. And we did read a couple of verses that spoke about this. We spoke about being lively stones being built up. We read about him being the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. We read about the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the corner of the head. And we read in Psalms chapter 28, verse 16, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And we'll read one more line here, Revelation 21, 16 through 19. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth. And if I recall, this word reed is also an idea of sort of a, it's a reed that they put a point on it and they use it as a pen to pen words, obviously. And so the measuring of the city is through the pen, through the penning of the Word of God. 12,000 furlongs. 12 is the number of fullness. 1,000 is completeness. So 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits. According to the measure of a man. So again, 12 times 12 is 144, 12 old, 12 new, you know, 12 of the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, again, 12 times 12, 24. I'm sorry, this is 44. 144. 12 by 12 is 144. So Again, we get that picture, which is a spiritual picture, giving us the fullness of what is in view here. You know, 1,000 being the fullness, and that 12 also is being that picture. So that is, let me reread that. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel, the messenger. And the building of the wall of it was a jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Okay, and all these, you know, gives us, we're going to look into pictures of the word jasper and the pure gold and the precious stones when we get into Revelation. Okay, so let's save that. I want to look maybe one more. Okay, this thrown down, and then he sat upon the Mount of Olives. You know, this idea of sitting, hopefully this is going to open. I don't know why these aren't opening on me. Well, I'm just going to go through this. We're going to be looking at these words when we get into Revelation anyway and go deeper into it. But to sit is to rule. So he sat upon the Mount of Olives, okay? So let's just read this paragraph one more time, and then we'll end our study until next Wednesday. So, and Jesus went and departed from the temple. That was the Old Testament church, the temple of Israel. And he left them desolate. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Those are the physical buildings they were looking at. And God brings in a spiritual picture here. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So the Okidoming, the building of God's church at the end, is a picture of the fact that it's being destroyed. Now, the body of Christ is not, of course, not being destroyed, but they are thrown down. And at some point, God says, come out of her, my people. And we'll see that as we get into the book of Revelation. But the picture here, again, is clear that God is speaking about the stones, those lively stones, those living stones, the stones of the building of his temple being thrown down when there is silence in heaven. About the space of a half an hour. We're going to read about that. And the silence in heaven, we're going to look at the word heaven, which there are three heavens that the Bible gives us pictures of. And the one heaven that we'll be looking at particularly is the heaven that's off the pulpit, the heaven that is above the individuals by the sprinkling of God's word, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by the baptism through the water, which is the living gospel, the word of God. And that is the picture of the heaven bringing the rains. And there's going to be a time when the stones are going to be all thrown down, and that heaven is not going to be above. It's going to, as the Bible puts it, it's going to be, how does he put it, As a scroll when it was rolled up. And so, you know, in earlier days, of course, they had the scroll, and that was a book, and you kept rolling it and roll it. I'm sure people have seen pictures of that in different places. By rolling a scroll up is the same as closing the book. So the book is closed. The Bible is closed. The Word of God is closed. Okay? And he's going to depart from his church again. And that's a lot of what the book of Revelation is really going to be talking about. And it's going to be talking about the judgment upon the false prophets and the false, all these false teachers, bringing in another Jesus, another gospel. But we'll be getting into those details when we get there. But anyway, all these stones are thrown down. And so he sat upon the Mount of Olives. So he's now, of course, he's ruling and judging by sitting. That's the picture of sitting, to judge and to rule, upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privily, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Question number one. What shall be the sign of thy coming? Question number two. We're going to answer both of those as we go through Matthew. And the end of the world? Question number three. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christian, I am Christ. And just shall deceive many. Now, we're going to look deeper into this word sat, and when we get over into Revelation, it's used quite a bit, if I recall. We'll look at some Bible verses where God will expound its meaning. But we'll pick up next week here, And I'll check all these links between now and then to make sure that they're all working. I don't know why they're not working in this particular book here. Okay, with that, we're going to end for our study this evening. And I don't know if anybody got a question or a comment before we close down. We can probably take a couple of minutes if anybody has anything. Okay, I guess not. All right, well, Lord willing, we'll see you next Wednesday, and we'll pick it up from there. Good night, everybody.
Good night.